right. Well, we're getting ready to have our speaker today come up, and that's Blake. You guys know Blake, right? The Word of God says we overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? The word of your testimony is a powerful thing. God will use all of the things that the devil sent out like a fiery dart to destroy you, and he will use that to raise you up, give you a purpose, give you a cause, and set you on your way, right? He will, I promise you. I'm living proof. If you don't believe me, ask people that have known me longer than the last 17 years, okay? Because I was a mess. I look around this room today, and I just see people from all corners of the world. And here we are today together in this room for such a time as this. And I don't believe it's a mistake, but a divine appointment that God has a plan specifically. All right, so I want to have Blake come up. I'll ask him. Do you need the podium, Blake? Do you need that? All right, before he takes the mic, I want everybody to reach your hands up this way, and we're just going to pray for him. Father, we thank you for Blake. Father, we thank you for his willingness to come and share what you've done in his life. Father, we thank you that you are glorified through all these things. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your hand has been on him. Blake, not from the time you accepted him, from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, he spoke life into you. He spoke purpose into you. He spoke a calling into you. And he spoke a calling that you haven't even seen yet. It is only the beginning. He said, brace yourself, it is only the beginning. You are going to have your mind blown by what God is going to do through you. Father, we thank you for his service. Father, we thank you for his giving in this. Father, we thank you that any way the enemy would try to use this to bring on anything from the past, we rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. We set a hedge of protection by the blood of Christ around this man of God. And we thank you that when he's done today, there are lives that are going to be changed, and you are going to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I'm nervous, but I'll get over it. Let's see. I was born March 1st, 1985, in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. I have a non-existent dad. I'm a mama's boy. Imagine that. That my parents got divorced when I was real little, and then she and my ex-stepdad got married. He was an alcoholic, and they fought all the time. So I witnessed all that, which was very scary. Growing up, these thoughts and feelings of other boys were going on in my head, and at a very young age, I acted on all those thoughts and feelings. I can remember in fourth grade getting caught, and the whole family freaked out, and I then had to go to counseling, to the county mental health counselors, and the only thing I remember from that was the two naked Cabbage Patch dolls. And I had to get out of school early, once a week, every week, for a long time. I had people ask me, well, why are you getting out of school early? Oh, I got to go see the doctor. Well, you go to the doctor a lot. What's wrong with you? So I had to deal with that. Growing up, I was a class clown, but I was also bullied. I was teased a lot. Kids' comments, oh, you're gay. What's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. So I dealt with a lot of that. Junior high is when I found porn and became addicted to that. And my mom caught me, and I got grounded from the computer all the time. And junior high, I went to a church camp, to a First Baptist church in Yarmouth, Iowa. And that's when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. But I still struggled with these thoughts, these things I acted on, I didn't know what to do. After coming to know the Lord, I didn't do anything with it. Just did it because that's what Baptists do. Junior high was when I started stealing cigarettes from my mom because I wanted to be cool and smoke. I didn't think she noticed, but she did. I also started drinking on the weekends. But before I went out, my mom would be like, alcohol only causes problems, and I'd have to say that every time before I went out. But that didn't stop me. I didn't like the way I felt about anything. So then I started stealing money from my mom to buy the drugs, buy the alcohol. She knew. So that mixed in with the lies of where I was going and the gay thing. My senior year, she had enough of putting up with that. 3 days after I turned 18, she kicked me out. I had gotten home from school early, and we just had gotten out because of the snow, and she's like, you need to get your things, you need to leave. All my stuff from my room was packed up, sitting by the front door. At the time, I told myself it was because I was gay, because that was the easier thing to deal with, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I went to my one of my teachers I was really close with. I went to her house. She's like, well, you can't stay here because that's kind of inappropriate. So I stayed with a friend, my ex-stepdad, Kyle. He lives in Roswell. The alcoholic, the only thing I had as a father figure in my life. So I ended up moving down here, graduating early, moved in with him for a few months. When I moved down here, I sent my mom a Mother's Day card. She wrote refused on it, and it got sent back to me. Him and I kept fighting. He was still drinking. He became abusive, so I left. And at the time, I had a job. I moved in with my manager of where I was working and his boyfriend. That's when I found crystal meth. And got lost in that. I don't even really enjoy talking about that. I got lost in that world for 10 years. The first 5, I smoked. The last 5, I started putting it in my arm. I had sex for drugs. I had sex for money to go buy drugs. I stole from people, you name it. I went to jail several times. I had 6 felony charges, ID theft, ID fraud, all that, just to get more drugs. So in and out of relationships, drugs, for 10 years. Then from all that, found out I became HIV positive. I think I found out in 2007. So of course, freak out, I'm gonna die. So I dealt with that, and the only person that knew at the time was my sister. And when it got too much for her, she couldn't keep it from mom, she told me. This was a year before I had gotten sober. I called my mom, and it was Mother's Day. It's like a significant date that runs along this whole story. I called her Mother's Day, and then we talked, and she knew what was all going on. And so I told her, I said, Mom, I'm HIV positive. And she's like, well, imagine that. So that was another crush down. And I became friends with a very good friend. His name's Brandon. I call him Purple. We met on his birthday the year before I had gotten sober. He passed away on my birthday. So this whole time of getting clean, the color purple pops up everywhere, and it's awesome. So the last time I got high by myself, and I cry myself to sleep. I wake up, it's Mother's Day, I'm crying, and I just talk to God. I'm like, God, I need help. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go, what to do, anything. I need your help. From that moment on, he's been everything. He's been helping me. He's been putting people in my life to help me. He led me to my first AA meeting. He led me to Positive Impact, where I completed a year-long treatment. Understanding why I do the things I do and coping with all these feelings, because I numbed all those feelings with the drugs. Now I'm feeling those feelings. And they're good feelings, even the bad ones, they're good. So much has changed. My mom and I were able to get together, make amends, and that's a miracle. I mean, of course, her and I still disagree on a lot of things. If we agreed on everything, that would be boring. Because that whole 10 years, I was like, the one person that's always been there isn't there. So God led me here, worshiping this morning. His presence for me, it feels like goosebumps from my heart all the way out. I don't know what else to say. It's just awesome. I know that I used to be terrified of people. I'm no longer terrified of people. I'm just so thankful he's put all of you in my life, and we help each other grow. During that evil time in my life, him and I dated. My boyfriend Randall, not to get into his business, but God decided to put him back in my life. And I am so thankful for that, because we're getting to learn about each other and experience life. So we're. And that's all I got, because I'm about to cry my eyes out.
Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. And what's so cool is other than the song playing, I really wasn't sure why God gave me that scripture earlier, but I don't know if you realize this, but Blake literally, his testimony just said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And his testimony reminded me a little bit of mine. I was barely 17 years old, the most precious little baby you've ever seen in your life, in a little crib. And I had no idea what I was going to do with the rest of my life, and I was terrified. And I had never prayed a prayer in my life. I didn't know anything about God. I really didn't have any understanding of talking to God. But I remember that was a very desperate moment in my life. And I got down on my face, and I called upon the name of the Lord. Didn't know my father, never had. And do you know, the very next morning, I got a phone call from my sister saying my dad had been looking for us, and he wanted to meet me. And he was a pastor in Texas. And that started Josh and I on our journey that led me to accepting the Lord, that led me to serving the Lord, that led me to being able to raise my child in the Lord. That completely changed the course of my life because I called upon the name of the Lord. You don't have to have any certain prayer, do you, Blake? Sometimes all it takes is help. I don't know what I'm doing. And God, if you're real, that's what I said. It was even a test, because I'm just kind of that way. That's a powerful thing sometimes when it's from a heart not of meaning bad, but out of desperation. God, if you're real, I need you to do something here. And I gave him a time frame. He had 24 hours. It's not like he could have sat on that deliberation for a week. He knew. And he didn't even take 24 hours. I fell asleep that night and woke up to the phone call. And oh man, he's real. He is absolutely 100% real. And if today that's all you leave with, that's a powerful thing to leave with. But I just want to close in prayer. And I want you to talk to that man back there, because he's got a powerful testimony. And I want you to look to the person to your left and to your right. This is who's in community with you. And when you feel like you don't have anywhere to go, your eyes are closed because there's a whole room full of people here that will help hold your hands up. Pastor Jonathan?
Just something that God placed on my heart as I was listening to this. And those of you who have been in community with Blake, especially like in the home groups, the part of the story that I'd love to hear him elaborate on is the amazing things that God's been doing in his life since then. You talk to this man, and you realize that God is living and active in his life now, and he's listening to him, he's hearing from him, he's seeing God do amazing things. And what I thought about was, you know, that song that we sang earlier about the ocean and walking on the water. And I thought about Peter in that boat. Peter had a lot of boat stories. When he met Jesus, he left his nets in the boat and followed after Christ. Now, had Peter said a prayer like, God, I need you to get me out of this fix. I need you to get me clean. And then went about his business back to the boat, he would have missed out on all that God would have done in his life. And had Peter sat in that boat in the middle of the storm when Jesus was walking on the water, he would have missed out on another part of his testimony. But Peter looked at the Lord and said, Jesus, if you'll call me out there, I'll come to you. And I love that about Blake, because what you see in Blake's life, it's not like these little Hail Mary prayers and then, whoo, now that things are stable, I'm going to go back to what Blake wants to do. It's all about what God is doing in his life. And he has this beautiful testimony because he is walking out on that water. You want a good testimony? Step out of that boat and allow God to do some great things for you.
Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for each and every person in this room. Father, we just lift up all the needs that are present here today. We lay them at your feet, for you are able. Father, we thank you, Lord, that who you have set free is free indeed. Father, we speak over the bondages, that if there is any in this room, Lord, we speak freedom to them right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, that if anyone is dealing with addiction, Father, we speak freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the community you have put us in. Oh, what an incredible way you have created your body to be alive with each other. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing, and we give you glory today in Jesus' name. Amen.